This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm here with Grayson Grunhafer, and we are coming to you after Baylor's dominant, surprising, shocking 77-47 road win against Oklahoma. Now, I mean, to put this in perspective, Oklahoma was favored by 6 to 7 points entering this game. They are very strong in the metrics coming into this game. They were number 21 in KenPom, and KenPom had predicted a 72-65 Oklahoma victory. So what does Baylor do? They go out and have their most impressive win of the season and just completely dominate this Oklahoma team. And, I mean, in every phase of the game, they just were dominant. And we'll talk about some of the great performances tonight. But, Grayson, what are your initial thoughts after this game?
Well, I thought it was really interesting that the commentators were saying that Oklahoma had the best defensive rating, I believe, in the entire conference, and were one of the better defensive teams in the country coming into this game. And Baylor just came out and just flat out outplayed them right from the get-go. I mean, it was really impressive to see Baylor once again playing really hard. And we've talked about this so many times. Playing hard will win you games. And the first half of this game was flat out one team was playing way harder than the other team, and you could just tell. And then Baylor started making shots, and OU got cold, and they didn't put in any effort, and Baylor was able to, you know, grow a big lead at halftime. And this game was over at halftime, but you still got worried that maybe OU would fight back. But an interesting stat that I wanted to point out was that Baylor only made 6 threes in this game, and they only made 4 free throws, which just tells you the kind of shots that they were getting. I mean, it was a bunch of layups, dunks, pretty much the whole game.
You may be getting incomplete stats there. Are you looking at just halftime stats? Because they were, what I'm seeing on Yahoo's box score is that they made 10 three-pointers. So they were 10 for 20 from three, and 5 for 11 from free throws, which is not very good. Mekhi Mason was only 1 for 4. But, you know, the stats have been wonky. We talked before the podcast. We were looking on ESPN. The stats were all jacked up. I think you're on Google. Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Yeah, well, so the box score that I think is accurate, I'm looking at it at Yahoo, is that, you know, Baylor was 10 for 20 from three-point range. They were 5 for 11 from free throws, but they were 31 for 57 from the field. Just incredibly accurate, you know, from the field against a really good defensive team. Only 6 offensive rebounds for Baylor today, but it didn't matter. You know, the Bears out-rebound Oklahoma 35-29. They have 17 assists, only 12 turnovers. You know, they were able to just dominate pretty much every phase of this game. I mean, they had 5 blocks, 9 steals, 11 different players score. I mean, it's just a phenomenal team effort. I would like to point out a couple of performances. I thought Freddie Gillespie's first half performance was absolutely incredible. I mean, the guy was so active on defense. He was making shots at the rim. He had 7 rebounds on the night. I think he ended up with 2 blocks, maybe 2 steals as well. Just a tremendous performance from Gillespie. I thought he was really the key to spurring that first half run and just giving him such great minutes off the bench.
Yeah, and he and Flo Tomba, again, I mean, it seems like every game they just keep getting better and better, but they really broke Oklahoma's will going to the rim.
Right.
I mean, they were blocking shots, influencing misses in the lane. Mark Beidle did a great job of that as well. But, I mean, their effort on the defensive end and their ability to really force tough shots from in close, first of all, that makes the zone work. That's the only way you can make the zone work. And, I mean, it was their ability to not only contest the shot, but then turn around and go grab the rebound as well.
Right.
So, lots of just great efforts by those guys, and they didn't allow much at all inside to Oklahoma. Oklahoma made a couple shots in the paint that I can remember, but really they clogged that lane up and did a great job. So really impressed once again from those guys, and, you know, once again, I just love what I'm seeing from the guards. Jared Butler, King McClure, Mekhi Mason, you know, they all played significant roles in this game. And I mentioned it on the board, but Baylor's ability to allow, you know, when the shot clock is running down, to have a guy like Mekhi Mason that can get into the lane and create for someone else or create for himself is just absolutely a luxury that you can't you just can't underestimate the importance of that. And that's something Baylor didn't have last year. And he just continues to impress me in a major way. He looks healthier and healthier every game.
Yeah, and there was a play in the early in the second half when I think Oklahoma scored a pretty tough bucket. They cut it to 17, and they all slapped the floor on defense. And so Baylor came down, got a good look at a shot. Vital got the offensive rebound, kicked it out to Mekhi Mason. Mekhi Mason hit a three off of that offensive rebound, and that was pretty much it. I think Oklahoma from that point on just said, okay, on to Saturday. I mean, that pretty much broke their will at that point. So Mekhi Mason just has a uncanny ability to do that. He's done it in several games where there's, you know, a moment where you think, oh, you know, the other team's going to start to get some momentum, and then he hits a big shot and it really just deflates the other team and the other fan base. Were you surprised at how few fans were in the stands for this game?
Yeah, a little bit. I you know, because Oklahoma was projected a 7 seed coming into this game, 15-5. I mean, that's a pretty good record. I was confused by that as well. And on the TV, it didn't seem very loud at all either. I mean, to be fair, though, this game was not that close for most of it. So I get it. But, yeah, I was a little surprised. I guess Oklahoma cares more about football by a lot.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was no Thunder game tonight. And, you know, it was an 8 o'clock start. And I realize that's a late start. But you have a significant portion of your fan base within 30 minutes of that arena. I was pretty surprised at how, you know, poor the showing was from their fans. You know, I can't remember a crowd in Waco, even on a weeknight game, a conference game, that looked that light. I mean, I'm sure there have been some pretty light crowds that would equal that, but you know, that was a very small crowd for as good, you know, coming off a 31-point win against Vanderbilt. And, you know, a game that's a very important game for them. That was a pretty surprising turnout, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I guess it's hard to go to games when you don't get to watch Trae Young put up 33s a game. I guess it's not as exciting.
Well, and I told Jason King this when we were doing a podcast before the Big 12 season started. I said, you know, that my comments were, I think you should sell OU and sell Texas Tech. And the reason I said OU was because I don't think their talent level is very good. You know, now they're playing most nights really good defense, and the metrics bear that out. I think they were 14th in KenPom defensively in the country coming into this game. But, you know, ultimately you got Christian James, and, you know, I think Christian James is a good player. But he's not a guy that is just dynamic offensively. He's not a Mekhi Mason where you would just trust him to break his guy down off the dribble and be able to get, you know, points at the end of a shot clock. He almost has to have others create for him, you know. And I feel the same way about Texas Tech. You know, I think other than Jarrett Culver, they're just limited offensively, and I think that's going to be a problem for them as we head into the stretch run. You know, ultimately, as Bill Walton says, offense wins championships, and we're seeing some beautiful offense from the Baylor Bears lately, and it just keeps getting better every game, it seems. And as I said before the game, it's statistically impossible to win 25 in a row if you don't win the first five. So we've done that. Now we just need to take care of the next 20, and that's the path to a national championship.
Yeah, and this team is, you know, heating up at the right time. They just got to keep it going. And they really have five games coming up that I think are all very winnable in my mind. And so if you get five more, now you're at 10. So there's definitely an opportunity there. But Going to have to take care of business on Saturday. But I just wanted to mention, I agree with you on Oklahoma. One of their guards, Jamal Bienemy, had been playing really well coming into this game. And Baylor did a really nice job on him. He really didn't get things going. And I think they've been looking for him to kind of be the guy that gets in the lane and creates for all the shooters that they have with James and Manic. But when he wasn't doing that, you're exactly right. They don't have enough guys that can create shots for themselves, and that really hurt them. Now, as far as Tech goes, Tech did get a big win tonight against TCU.
Right.
I believe they won by 20 tonight. And so Baylor's going to have to really focus and regroup so that on Saturday they can handle business against TCU and get a little redemption for the loss that they had the first game of conference play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that should be a rocking arena. And, TCU hopefully comes in a little, tail between their legs after this big loss tonight against Texas Tech. But, you know that they're going to come very hungry and come out very aggressive. And they've got a lot of good players. They've got shooters all over the floor. It's going to be a test for Baylor because they probably have the best interior scoring game in the conference. Samuels is able to score at the rim, and JD Miller's given Baylor fits in the past. So they've got some height that Baylor needs to be concerned about. But, the way Baylor guards have been playing lately, I think that, you have to give the advantage to Baylor at the guard position. Alex Robinson's probably going to get a lot of love for first team all Big 12, but Mekhi Mason's playing better than Alex Robinson right now. No question about it.
Yeah, and Baylor hung 81 on TCU in the first matchup after just an abysmal first half by the Bears. So I expect them to play quite a bit better. I think they're going to be able to score on TCU. I mean, a Texas Tech team that really hasn't been scoring on anyone put up 84 points on TCU. So I think that's an area where I think the Bears should be able to score in the 70s somewhere. So now it's just a matter of can they get enough stops. And I think from what I'm seeing from Tomba and Gillespie, I'm really confident that Baylor's going to be able to be in this game throughout and maybe pull away some with their defensive presence down low because from the first time I saw Gillespie play till now, I mean, from the first game this year, I just cannot believe the improvement he's made.
Yeah, I mean, the effort's always been there. If you ask any Baylor basketball player who was the hardest worker on the basketball team last year, they'll all tell you Freddie Gillespie without hesitation. He has put in the work, and you always love to see guys who put in the work get rewarded, with success on the court. The question with him has never been, obviously he's got the 7'6 wingspan. He's a defensive disruptor because of how active he is and how hard he works on the glass. Larry Gatewood said this to me when we were talking the other night. He said, Freddie Gillespie is a 6'9 Mark Vidal. He plays with that kind of energy and he plays with that kind of effort. And, when you have two guys like that, and really three, when you put in Kegler, that's just a nightmare for defenses to, deal with. Three guys that play very physical, very active. It's just a brutal assignment for, guys that are typically finesse-type players in basketball to try to keep them off the glass and to try to match their energy. And OU certainly struggled with that tonight.
I agree with you, but I actually think there's a few more guys. I'm seeing it from King McClure, too.
Yeah.
We talked earlier in the year about guys that are just able to get their hands on, rebounds. Maybe they're not grabbing them, but, contesting, tipping the ball in the air. King McClure does a fantastic job of that. And he's also so physical on the defensive end. Sometimes it gets him in some foul trouble. But other times, it really gets in the head of the opponent, and he's played so hard. And I know he's not scoring an overly high amount since the Oklahoma State game, but he's doing exactly what Baylor needs him to do. He's hitting open shots, and he's playing extremely hard and physical, and they need that. And I think we're also seeing it from Tomba.
Right.
I really like what he's doing. I think he's playing so hard right now, and it really it's impressive. It's definitely impressive to see what Coach Drew is doing with these guys and how he's been able to elevate their game since Tristan Clark has been out. And I got to say, after watching this team, I think that next year, and I know maybe I'm looking too far ahead, but I think that Tristan Clark is going, they're going to need to use him kind of like how they're using Freddie right now. Obviously, I think he's an upgraded Freddie, but I think that the way that they're using guards and the way that they're spreading the ball around and not just feeding it inside, I just think that's what works. And I think we're seeing it every single night right now. And so I just think that'll be something to watch going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Drew's smart enough to know that, you know, if you got a team that's going to continue to win, and he's not going to mess with that formula, so he'll figure out how to integrate Tristan into the style of play that we're playing right now. I want to bring up a couple performances. Devontae Bandu just continues to gain confidence. He only had 7 points tonight, but he made a three-pointer. He had a sensational dunk off of a great Mekhi Mason pass where, you know, he looked like he was two feet above the rim with his head. I mean, his vertical is just unbelievable. And then, you know, once again, he got a steal in the open court and was able to just Euro step past a defender and, you know, make a layup. And same thing with Jared Butler. Jared Butler's really good at that as well, avoiding contact and able to finish at the rim. There's just a lot to like about how Baylor's playing right now. You know, Darius Allen got in the game. He went 1-for-1, had a dunk. He also had an assist. King McClure had 0 turnovers tonight. You know, great job by him playing under control and protecting the ball. Matthew Meyer, you know, he pretty much touched every part of the stat line, you know, including a couple turnovers, but he had 4 steals. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Made a three, you know, did a really good job, I thought, giving Baylor a spark and you know, making some great passes. Had a nice dump off to Freddie Gillespie for a layup or a dunk. Just a total team effort. This is really beautiful basketball to watch, and, you know, just keeps getting better and better as we get into conference play.
Yeah, and I think this is going to give a lot of guys a ton of confidence. Just the way that they played, so many guys scored in this game, so many guys, you know, we're on the stat sheet somewhere, and I just think that, you know, you want that. You want guys that have a lot of confidence and that, you know, you put them in the game, you know, Coach Drew's going to have confidence in these guys to make plays. And I think, you know, we continue to see it from a lot of these guys on the bench that their game just continues to elevate just a little bit each game. And, you know, Bandu's probably been the most consistent, but, you know, you're seeing it. Tomba and Gillespie are really coming on as the season goes on. Meyer continues to show flashes and continues to, you know, play hard. And I think that's the biggest thing with him. Just continue to play hard and let the game come to you. You know, if you try to do too much, that's when things can go wrong. But if you play hard, good things are going to happen. And they did tonight. And so, yeah, total team effort. I think this is going to help Baylor immensely as they go forward in conference play. This is just a huge confidence booster. And once again, a big resume booster for the tournament.
No question. All right, so you mentioned Texas Tech blew out TCU tonight, beat them by 19, 84-65. Tomorrow night, a big game in Austin, Texas. The Longhorns have Kansas, and KU's only a 1-point favorite in that one. You got any thoughts on that contest?
Yeah, I watched Texas play against Georgia this past weekend, and I came away extremely unimpressed. I saw them earlier this year against North Carolina, and I was thinking, wow, they're a pretty good team, but they're just so Jekyll and Hyde to me. I mean, it's like one game they play really well, the next game they play really bad, and then they go play Georgia and they lay an egg and give up 90-something points to a very mediocre Georgia team. And
right.
So I expect Kansas to win this game. This is the kind of game that Kansas wins, and that's the reason why they've won the Big 12 so many times. Is they'll go on the road and play a team that they're supposed to beat, and they'll beat them. And so I think that's what's going to happen in this one. I just think Texas is too bad defensively right now, and I think Lawson's going to eat them up down low.
Well, it would be great if Texas gets the upset, because right now Baylor's in a three-way tie for first place at 5-2. So obviously if Kansas loses, it would be Kansas State and Baylor on top of the conference standings. Kansas State does not play this week. They've got a bye until Saturday. And then the other game is Iowa State takes on West Virginia in Ames, which should be a colossal blowout, you would think. So, you know, it's likely that Iowa State's going to move to 5-3, which is the same record that Texas Tech has as well. So it's kind of a muddle there at the top of the conference with possibly five teams with five wins by the end of the Iowa State game. But Baylor's right there in the hunt for a conference championship. And, you know, hey, they've got three road wins. And, you know, if they're able to pick off another one or two on the road and protect their home court, things look pretty promising for, you know, their ability to contend for a conference championship this year, which just seems ludicrous to even talk about, you know, a couple weeks ago. But, you know, the way they're playing now, I certainly think there's a lot of teams that are taking notice and not looking forward to welcoming the Baylor Bears, you know, to their arena, because Baylor's playing some terrific basketball on both ends of the court.
Yeah, I agree. And I honestly hate to keep saying this, but I think that this game this weekend is very big as far as the conference standings go, because TCU is a team that I think is right on the fringe of trying to be in that upper echelon. They're just right there. I think they're the best of the rest. So the top five, I think TCU is the best team of the rest, and they're trying to get into that group. And if Baylor can beat them this weekend, that would be a three-game lead in the win column over TCU for Baylor, and that would be, you know, almost too much to overcome, really. And so that would be big to keep TCU kind of in that lower group. Would be absolutely huge. So I think it's a big game for Baylor, and of course, winning at home is an absolute must if you want to win a conference championship. So
right.
That's another big reason why I think this game's so important for Baylor. And you can afford to lose road games, but not home games.
Right, no question about it. And you know, it should be a full arena. You know, I would expect a raucous crowd. It should be just a great atmosphere. And you know, Baylor has to perform in that environment. You know, TCU played tonight as well, so they're both going to have the same amount of preparation and rest going into that game. You know, but Baylor is relatively healthy and, you know, certainly didn't have to press and exert themselves down the finish of this game. So they should have, you know, a couple days of rest and then really get after the scouting report and hopefully, you know, come out strong like they have on the road and be able to, you know, put up a solid lead against TCU in the first half. I'm stalling a little bit here because I'm trying to see if KenPom will update the result with Baylor. They usually do that within 30 minutes after the game, so it should happen any second now. But I'm curious to see, you know, what Baylor moves up in the strength ratings. They were 45 coming into this game, and Oklahoma was 21. So I would think Baylor is going to be somewhere in the mid-30s after that performance, but we'll see here in a few minutes. You know, another thing...
That would definitely be big if they can move up a little bit, but I saw Oklahoma's a projected 7 seed, Baylor's a projected 10 seed coming in to today, so I'm wondering, I think, you know, Baylor should probably be an 8, I would think, after a big road win like this. I think they'd be right around that 8 seed line.
They're solidly in the tournament now. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, I would think, you know, after tonight, KenPom's probably going to project them with 10, maybe 11 conference wins. And if they get to that 10 conference win mark, then, you know, they're in the tournament, but they're playing for a lot better things. You know, they might be able to get a 5 or a 4 or a 3 seed if they keep playing the way they're playing.
Right. So if Baylor beats TCU this weekend, do you think they're going to be in the top 25?
Yes.
I think so too.
Yes.
I think they're right on the border. And I think if they're able to beat TCU, get another big win, and continue to be hot like they have been, yeah, I think they should be in as well, which would be huge, you know, from where Baylor was just, 3 weeks ago?
Right. You know, LSU may be the hottest team in America right now as far as a winning streak. They haven't been beating teams of the quality of Baylor, but they've got, let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins in a row, and then they go to Texas A&M. But they've got the hardest part of their schedule left. They've got to go to Mississippi State. They've got to go to Kentucky. They've got Auburn at home, Florida and Tennessee still left on their schedule, a road game at Florida. So, you know, they've got a lot of tough games left, and obviously Baylor does because the Big 12 is the best conference. But, you know, Baylor has just gone through a stretch here where they've beaten the number 12 team, in KenPom. They went on the road and beat, you know, two teams, Oklahoma State and West Virginia. And then the biggest road win, of course, was Oklahoma. And then you've got a great road win against Arizona. And then you beat Texas Tech at home and beat Alabama at home. You know, so that's a pretty impressive five-game stretch. And obviously, I'm sure a lot of Baylor fans would love to have that Kansas game over, you know, now, the way the Bears are playing, because, you know, I think Baylor would beat Kansas the way they're playing, lately, at home, certainly, in Waco. And they may beat them in Lawrence. You know, there's not a team on this schedule that I'm afraid to play anytime, anywhere, the way the Bears are playing right now.
Yeah, and the way they've been able to hit shots on the road has been really impressive. I mean, every time they've been on the road, they've been able to hit shots. But, yeah, the second half against Kansas pretty much was the turning point, and they pretty much showed what they are, you know what I mean, what kind of team they are. And, yeah, I agree. If they'd gotten to play Kansas in Waco, say, this weekend, I'd feel pretty good about that game. And, yeah, the reason I asked that was because there's quite a few teams in the top 25 that, you know, have gone on hot streaks and have been able to enter the poll, and then, some have lost a game here or there. But, I was just curious because, you know, of course, both my parents went to Purdue, so I follow Purdue basketball as well, and they're one of those teams that has gotten really hot. And they've jumped all the way to 17. So I think if Baylor can win this weekend, they could be in the top 20. They'll be right there. They'll be right around 2021, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned Purdue. That's another team. They've won five in a row also, correct? Like, including the great win against Michigan State.
Yeah, they've won eight of their last nine.
Right. Yeah, they're a very hot team. And when you look at, you know, the metrics, and you see Texas so far up in the metrics, it's because of the win that they have against Purdue and the win that they have against North Carolina, because their overall resume is not that good. You know, they've got those two great wins, and then they went on the road and beat Kansas State by 20 without Dean Wade. But then other than that, they've got a win against Oklahoma, and they've got, you know, they've lost five of their last six, with Kansas coming up tomorrow at home, and then they got to go to Iowa State, and then they got to play Baylor. You know, so that's possibly three losses in a row for them, which might be the death knell for Shaka Smart. So let me ask you this, as I'm continuing to wait for KenPom to update the stats. So I'm contemplating doing a big head of Rick Barnes for the Texas game in Waco.
I love the idea. I mean, it's what they had. I mean, look at what they had in Rick Barnes. He's got the number one team in the country right now, and they just let him go and went and got Shaka, and that has just not panned out. I do not see Texas making the tournament. I don't see any way they make the tournament, to be perfectly honest. I think that they're only better, in my opinion, than Oklahoma State and West Virginia, and they're right on par with Oklahoma. I guess it's possible that the seventh or eighth best team, you know, gets in, but I just don't see it. I don't think they're very good at all.
Do they fire Shaka Smart if he doesn't make the tournament this year, or do you think they give him one more year?
Oh, man. I mean, if I'm them, I would definitely fire him and go get Chris Beard.
Right.
I mean, I just feel like that matchup makes perfect sense. Beard's a Texas alum. I think that he would recruit just as well as Shaka has, and I think he's just a better coach. At this point, I really don't know what happened to Shaka from BCU to Texas, because he gained so much talent. But this is what happens when you have to play in the Big 12. It's just, it's a grind every night. And if you lose a bunch of non-conference games, you can get left out of the tournament, and because the Big 12 just hits you.
And, you know, I mean, we've been talking about this on the message boards, but these coaches and these staffs in this league are really good. And, you know, sometimes when the hot new coach comes in and has some initial success, you know, and I would say this about Chris Beard, too, we tend to crown them, you know, a top five coach in college basketball. But, you know, I mean, as much as I like to, you know, jab Bill Self, and certainly I think he cheats with the best of them in college basketball. But, you know, you got to give him credit for what he's done, you know, to be able to beat the coaches he's beat in the Big 12 consistently. I mean, that's an impressive feat. And, you know, I mean, a guy like Chris Beard who comes into the league, has some initial success, has a good season last year, and now, you know, he's 5-3. So he's in the hunt for a Big 12 title, no question about it. But as we saw during the three-game losing streak, let's not quite, you know, crown him the next John Wooden or the next Mike Krzyzewski, because it's a lot more difficult than it looks. I mean, you're going up against Hall of Fame caliber coaches, including Scott Drew, on a night-by-night basis, and these guys know what they're doing. And they're going to come ready to play you, and they're going to know what your weaknesses are, and they're going to take away your strengths, you know. So it's just a difficult league, and you know there's so many great coaches that are veterans, the you know Lon Krugers, the Jamie Dixons, the Bruce Weber, you know Bill Self, and you know even Steve Prohm, you know, has got a few skins on the wall. So it's a tough league, and you know certainly. You know, for these coaches that are younger, like Shaka Smart and Chris Beard, you know, sometimes a lot more difficult than they probably thought it was when they took the jobs.
True. I will say one thing about Chris Beard, though, and I know this happens to every team in college basketball. I completely understand that, but they should have Zaire Smith this year. And right. I think he was planning on Zaire Smith being a part of this team. And I will say that I do believe if they had Zaire Smith, they would be the best team in this league. And so to lose a guy like that that wasn't that highly, you know, rated coming out of high school, and then he just all of a sudden is almost a lottery pick, I mean, that is tough to lose, and they tried to do it with grad transfers, and they're still a very good team. But without him, they don't quite have that same explosive punch on the offensive end. They're still going to be in the top five in the Big 12, in my opinion, maybe even top four. Yeah, I agree. They probably won't win it, but I do think Chris Beard is a very good coach. I think he's an upgrade over Shaka Smart, and I think if he was able to get that kind of talent, that'd be pretty big. And I mean, if you look at Texas Tech, I believe they have a top, you know, 25 guard in the country coming in next year.
Yeah, Jameis Ramsey. Yeah, he's like a Marcus Smart type player, very physical, turns the ball over a lot, but. You know, he's a guy that's going to be a great college player, no question about it. He's physical and he's athletic. All right, so listen to this move, Grayson. Baylor moved from 45 in KenPom all the way up to 30 with that win tonight. So their metrics continue just to be impressive. Their offensive efficiency goes from 55 or 54 to 42, and now their defensive efficiency goes all the way to 26. So they're back, you know, knocking on the door of the top 25 in defensive efficiency. So, once again, just a sensational win. And, you know, as we said on the game thread, if you can't trust Mark Vidal from three, who can you trust? I mean, you got Mark Vidal out there making three-pointers. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah, and pulling and shooting basically step-back threes, too. yeah, because he got a little – he got a little anxious and decided to put another one up. But, yeah, I mean, a great performance. And those metrics, I mean, that is just great for Baylor. And if they can go get a win against TCU, I mean, we could really be talking about a potential, you know, Big 12 champion, or at least a team that's going to compete the whole season. I mean, we're already talking about right now, but I think one more win at home, I think, definitely puts you squarely in that picture. And you know, who knows? Maybe K-State or Kansas drop one this week, and Baylor can jump up even higher.
Well, and KenPom's now predicting 11-7 for Baylor's conference record. So that would be, you know, a great result given what we thought would happen at the beginning of conference play. As things continue to look up for Baylor basketball, next up, as we've talked about, are the TCU Horned Frogs on Saturday, February 2nd. That's a 7 o'clock game, I believe. Is that right, Grayson?
Yeah.
7 o'clock. Yeah. So, Baylor fans, get your butts to the Farrell Center. Let's pack that place. Let's get there early. Let's give this team a lot of energy pregame and hopefully celebrate a big win against TCU on Saturday. And then they've got a few days off before Texas and Austin on February 6th. And then another home game against Kansas State on February 9th. So some great games coming up in Waco, and you know, just an opportunity to reward this team for their great performances and get behind them. Should be a lot of fun the rest of the season. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast. Once again, the Baylor Bears beat the Oklahoma Sooners 77-47 in Norman, and we'll talk to you after the TCU game on Saturday night.